Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's great to be together. Good morning, family. Good morning to everyone who's visiting. I see some visitors with us today. Again, hey, if you don't know me or if we haven't met, my name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here. Just really glad that you're with us. Welcome. And we hope that you leave this place feeling like you were seen, feeling like you were known, and feeling like you were really welcomed, okay? So anyway, we're going to get into the Word pretty quickly this morning. As for the church family, I sent an email out, and this morning, the focus really is on, in order to enter 2023 well, family, we got to leave 2022 well. And so the focus in the Word and the focus in our time together today is going to be leaving 2022 well so we can enter this new year well. And as many of you know, I used to be a pastor of missionaries, and we experienced a lot of transition and a lot of change. Things didn't stay the same. Very long, and they changed quite drastically, quite often, right? So transition was a part of the normal way of life. And one thing I learned as someone who, you know, served cross-culturally and also as a pastor of missionaries is that it's really important. It takes intention. To enter the next season well, we have to leave the current season well. It makes all the difference, and it takes intention. So we're going to do that. We're going to create some space today, and we're going to intentionally leave behind 2022 well. And the way we're going to do that is by remembering God's faithfulness, remembering his goodness, remembering that he is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he's faithful, okay? And Psalm 105 is going to help us do that. Why don't we go ahead and open our Bibles and get to Psalm 105 today. Psalm 105 is it's a call, okay? It's a call to remember and a call to tell of God's mighty acts of faithfulness towards his people. And it's a reminder that God is the God of history who moves and acts in history to preserve and to protect and to bless and fulfill his covenant among his people, okay? So it's a reminder that God's the God of history, but you know what? The same God of history is also the God of your history or your story and my story. And this God who we're going to see has acted so mightily in the history of God's people is a God who's acted mightily in your life and my life over the past year or maybe a little longer, even into 2021, right? And he's demonstrated his goodness and his faithfulness and his power in our lives in so many ways, right? And so after we work through Psalm 105 kind of briefly and I unpack that for us, we're going to just create some space to tell one another of God's faithfulness and his goodness in our lives over the last year. And so Jordan and Jamie are going to help me with that, and they'll have some mics, and we'll just kind of take mics to you, and you can stand up and briefly just say, hey, this is what God did this past year, or this is what God did back here, and I just want to praise him for that. And that's a great way to leave behind 2022, but also enter into 2023 empowered, being confident that he's the same faithful God. He's going to lead us through whatever comes, right? That's important. So that's what we're going to do. So let's just go ahead and jump right into Psalm 105. It's kind of a long psalm, so I want to read it. And as I read it, just want to unpack it a little bit so that we can remember this God of history who's the God of our story as well. Let's look at Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, the psalmist says. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continuously. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He's saying, listen, people of God, call upon his name, make known what he's done, remember his mighty acts, sing praises to him, tell of all that he's done, right? Remember. There's a link between remembering and worship, family. There really is. And the psalmist, the writer of the psalm, urges us as God's people to remember and tell of his wondrous works. Why? Why does he do that? So that we'll be people of praise, right? So that we'll walk confidently in faith through times of peace and prosperity, and also through times of chaos and hardship and suffering. It's important to remember. And we need to remind each other of God's goodness to us in Christ. We need to read of his goodness in history. We need to remind and tell each other of his goodness, because we're so prone, all of us, to drift away from our first love. We're so prone, all of us, to trust in inadequate things, right? To kind of try to find security or satisfaction or wholeness. And often those are good things, but they're inadequate things. And if you're like me, and you're looking into 2023, you're probably looking at all the chaos and all the uncertainty and all the threat and all the brokenness and all the ways that you're not in control and we're not in control. It's important that we look back and we remind each other as family, hey, remember what God has done in history? Psalm 105 is going to help us with that. Hey, remember what God has done in my life? So that we have confidence to move forward. Okay, so that's the first thing. Another thing, just briefly, our remembering of God and who he is, who God is, and what he's done for us in Christ, our remembering of that is really important. And as we tell one another of that, that should lead us and compel us outward, right? To tell others outside the church, right? To make his deeds known among all the peoples, as the psalmist says. So what we're going to do here today is important. It's important for us to build one another up. It's also important for us to equip us to go out and be sent out and say, hey, you know what God did for me? As we have opportunity and conversations. Hey, you know how God's been faithful to me? Can I tell you about that? So a lot of reasons for us to remember today. Let's just walk through the psalm. So the rest of the psalm from 7 on, verse 7 on, it's kind of, I guess the theme would be God is the God of history, okay? And the psalmist is going to tell the story of God's faithfulness and goodness in history in kind of four sections. And we're just going to take them one section at a time. So if you're taking notes, there's no PowerPoint today, anything like that. If you're taking notes, there's four sections, okay? God is the God of history. And the first section is verses 7 and 11. And we're going to see God's promise to Abraham, his covenant faithfulness. And what the psalmist is going to do is he's going to say, hey, remember, y'all, that God is faithful. And he's going to start with Abraham and work all the way through Joshua, from Genesis to Joshua, to when the people enter the promised land. He's going to say, remember what God did for his people? He's still our God. He's the same. All right, God is the Lord of history. First section, God's promise to Abraham. Verse 7. The psalmist says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded. For 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promises to Isaac, or promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. So God made a promise to Abraham in Canaan, and he said, look at all this. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants, and I'm going to establish a covenant that's everlasting forever with you, okay? And so here's something about the God of history, that God remembers his covenant forever. And remembering here involves more than just, hey, yeah, I remember that I said I'd do that. Remembering involves action, that God acts in history. He acts mightily for his people to fulfill his promises, okay? And one thing for us as people of the way, as followers of Jesus, on this side of the cross, looking back at God's covenant, everything's fulfilled in Christ, right? So for us, looking back, here's what we see. God actively remembered his covenant in sending his son Jesus, right? Who's made us heirs of a new covenant. He was faithful from the beginning through now, and he's going to continue to be faithful, okay? That he was faithful to protect the family line that led to the coming of Christ through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs, all the way to Christ. He protected that family line. And if he can do that family, he can protect us until we arrive in glory and we reach that eternal promised land, right? From now to then. So that's something that we see of God's faithfulness. Everything else in this psalm is a fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, okay? Let's look at section 2, verses 12 to 23. We see the Lord's protection and his providence that in secret, sometimes perplexing ways, God is working out his plans and purposes. We see the Lord's protection and providence from Canaan, where God first called Abraham, all the way to Egypt. All right? That's verses 12 to 23. First, protection. We see God's protection over his people, verses 12 to 15. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, what did God do? He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm." If you know the Old Testament, you know the story of Abraham and the patriarchs, you see God's hand of protection over them, supernaturally, right? And something to remember here is that we should remember that our ultimate protection is found in the Lord, isn't it? I mean, it's found in the God of all creation, the God who keeps his covenant. And so we can be encouraged in that, right? We may do a lot of good things, and we may have some measure of power to protect ourselves from danger or harm or evil, but ultimately we rest in God's protection. He's the God of history. He's shown his faithfulness. He's the God of our history. He's shown it to us, and he's the same God who's going to lead us into the unknown of 2023. We can be confident in that. We can rest in it. Protection's important. That's one thing I struggle with. I start thinking about all the things that I'm not in control of, and I start believing a lie sometimes. And that lie is that everything depends on me, and that I need to be in control, but I'm not in control. And I know that, and I know God is in control. And sometimes I just have to stop and afresh in the morning say, "Lord, please forgive me for believing the lie that your power and protection and provision is not enough. Please forgive me for believing that lie." And I'm repentance is such a beautiful thing. I'm turning from that, and I'm trusting in you afresh, and I'm believing afresh that this is who you are. You've shown it. You've proven it. You've demonstrated it. It's still who you are. And I'm gonna rest under the shadow of your wings. I'm going to rest in your protection. So that's what the psalmist is leading God's people to. So protection. Next, providence. Verses 16 to 23. Honestly, I'm feeling like I need to really push through this, but I just want to pause for a second. As you leave 2022 and enter 2023, are you anxious? Are you feeling like everything depends on you? Are you full of worry and stress and anxiety about the present and the future? Remember who God is, okay? And as we open this up in a little bit, let's tell and remind each other of how he's demonstrated that in our lives. And we can let go of stress. We can let go of anxiety, knowing that the God of all creation, who's proven his might through Jesus Christ, man, he's got us. It's going to be okay. Right? So let's not believe those lies. All right. God's providence, how he's working his sometimes secret will in sometimes really confusing ways. Verse 16, when he, talking about God, summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of him, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. God had a purpose for Joseph, but Joseph didn't know that, and his brothers didn't know that. You know the story. Verse 18, his feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. He was put in chains until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, or the land of Egypt. Okay? Now, here's something that I take from this when we're thinking about remembering. You know, Joseph's life was kind of a microcosm of God's story. Or Israel's story, excuse me. Joseph's life was a kind of a microcosm of Israel's story. And we see in Joseph, and we see in the history of God's people, or the story of God's people, that the path to glory has come through faithful obedience and suffering. That there's no shortcut. That glory comes through faithful obedience in the midst of suffering. That was Joseph's story. And, you know, Joseph's story is kind of a foreshadowing, not kind of, it is, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus' life and ministry. That Joseph is just a shadow and a picture of Jesus and his life and his ministry, right? And glory came to Jesus through his perfect obedience for us and through his ultimate suffering on the cross, right? And so it's also a paradigm for us, family, as followers of Jesus, right? And so we shouldn't be surprised at hardship or suffering. The path to reach glory also leads us through suffering. It's going to happen, and it does. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, what must he do? Deny himself daily. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, right? The path that Jesus walked is the path that we walk because we're his witnesses. Confidence. They encourage us, these verses, that we can trust God even in the hardest of times because he's faithful to accomplish his good purposes. Even when that process is messy, as it was in Joseph's life, and even when that process doesn't make sense at all. Can you imagine being in prison, Joseph, being sold into slavery? All those years, had no idea what was coming and what God's plan and purposes were. But he was faithful. It's an encouragement to us. Hey, he's faithful, right? He's going to cause all things to work for my good, for his glory. I don't have to know because he does. And here's another thing too. And I think this is important for us as we look ahead. That God can work through evil kings and leaders, that God can work through evil governments and societies and nations to bless and preserve his people. He can do that. He's proven that he's done it before. And also that he can place people in strategic places to work out his sovereign will. He can place his people in strategic places. And some of you he has. And some of you he will place in strategic places to work out his sovereign will for the benefit and the blessing of his people and his kingdom, and for the benefit of those who he'll call into his kingdom. So he's the God of history. We need to remember that, okay? And he's the God of our story as well. The third movement, as we move on, we see the Lord's protection of God's people in Egypt. And this is verses 24 to 36. Verse 24. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. This was under Joseph and then Joseph's descendants. And he turned their hearts, talking about God's foes, he turned their hearts to hate his people to deal craftily with his servants. And he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they performed signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham or the land of Egypt. And he sent darkness, okay? And so the psalmist is just kind of recounting the plagues. He doesn't mention all of them, and he doesn't mention them in order, but he's just saying, hey, remember this, okay? And I'm going to start with the doozy. I'm going to start with the last one. He sent, I guess that's not the last one. But he sent darkness, and he made the land dark, and they did not rebel against his words. And he turned waters into blood and caused their fish to die. And their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. And he spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. And he gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land. And he struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. This is how powerful and mighty God is and how he's demonstrated that in the history of delivering his people, okay? He struck down their vines, right? He spoke and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of the ground. And then here it is. He struck down all the firstborn in the land, the first fruits of all their strength. God did all of that because Pharaoh would not let the people of God go, right? So God rescued his people from the bondage of slavery through these mighty acts, right? And it's that's just a foreshadowing of Christ's mighty work of rescuing us. So when we look at the greatest act of deliverance in the Old Testament, we look at that and we say, man, we have experienced and received and we're still experiencing a much greater act, right? That what Christ came to do, the deliverance that Christ came to give us, the deliverance that we know is so much greater than that. This is the God of history. He's also the God of your story and your history. Okay, this is true. And he's called us not just to receive that miraculous act of deliverance, but he's also called us into this great rescue mission, and he's called us to be part of it. He's called his church, his body, to be his witnesses. He's called us to go and make disciples. He's called us to fulfill the mission, to rescue those who are in darkness, to rescue those who are in deep darkness, right? And to help them see the great light that we've seen. So God has delivered his people, and he's delivered us, and we've experienced it. And maybe God's delivered you in some special way, or maybe a way that doesn't seem very big to you. But you might want to share that in a little bit and say, hey, this is how the God of redemption has worked in my life in the last year. One way for me is he's, as I've already kind of shared, he's been teaching me how to be weak. He's been teaching me how to be at the end of my rope. He's been teaching me how to be in a place where I say, God, I can do nothing without you. And some of you have been there, and some of you are there, and some of you know a lot more about that than me. But you know what? Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I'll hope in him. If you keep reading Lamentations 3, he says, it's good that one should wait quietly on the salvation of the Lord. One thing that I just want to, this is what he's done in my life. He's teaching me how to wait quietly for strength that I don't have. How to wait quietly for him to do what I can't do in my life. And that's a beautiful thing. It might not sound very big, but he's teaching me how to rest in that. And to remember that, hey, he's going to finish the work he started. Right? And if I don't have strength, he's going to be glorified in that too. But I expect his strength to be perfected in my weakness. I'm already experiencing it. But he's the God who delivers. Here's number four of those kind of four sections, okay? He's the God of history. The Lord's promise fulfilled, right? From Egypt to the promised land. The promise God made to Abraham, the covenant promise, he fulfilled. He led them into the promised land. Let's read verse 37. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. He asked, and he brought quail, and he gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. Like, how cool is that, right? It flowed through the desert like a river. Can you imagine that? God did that. Verse 42, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, okay? And he gave them the land of the nations, and they took possession of it. They took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. And then what else can you do but say, praise the Lord? If that's the God who's done all of that, praise the Lord, right? And so remembering, as we kind of get ready to share, remember that this is the same God that continues to nourish you and me today, spiritually and, you know, and physically through his grace in Jesus Christ. He's our provider. He's our nourisher, right? And he's the one who guides us. And we don't need a cloud by day and a fire by night. He doesn't guide us externally anymore. He's put his Holy Spirit in us. Family, if you are a child of God in Jesus Christ, his Spirit lives in you to guide you and me and us together as a family. Isn't that cool? And so through Christ, we have a better hope than the promised land. As awesome as the promised land was, we have a better hope, okay? Canaan was just a shadow of this heavenly home promised to us when Christ returns. And so that's our hope. Let me ask you a couple questions. Have you ever experienced kind of this, kind of a deep inner ache of homesickness that just you can't shake? Have you ever felt like that? Maybe as you get older, maybe you feel that more. When we left the United States in 2012, you know, I mean, this is home now, but we've relinquished so much that the Lord has me in a place where I know that home is there, and here is we get tastes of home, and it's good. But there's an ache to be home that I know that will be satisfied when I get there. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. I think some of you probably can. And even if you got all your people around you, and maybe even the home that your parents, you grew up in, and you've raised your children in, and everything is just the way it should be, maybe there's this deep inner ache that there's something missing. It's not complete yet, right? Or maybe you have these feelings of restlessness, right? That things just aren't what they could be. There's an incompleteness that we all feel that will only be satisfied when we get to our true home, to the real promised land. That's what I'm saying, okay? C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, he says this. He says, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world, and that's a good thing. This world is good, but I wasn't made for it. I was made for a better world, and that's the promised land, okay? So remembering who God is, remembering what he's done for us in Christ gives us confidence. So, like, to face whatever it is that lies ahead in 2023, okay? Knowing that we're ultimately going to make it home. And this ain't it. But it's pretty good, okay? But we're ultimately going to make it home. And every day we're one step closer to home. So we can have confidence. So this God of history is also the God of your story. I'm going to stop talking now, okay? And I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask us, as the Spirit moves you, I don't want you to feel like you're any pressure or that you have to do this, but you know, to remind each other, and let's tell one another of how he's demonstrated his goodness in our lives over the past year. Why don't you just pause with me and let's pray. Father, as we give testimony of your goodness, would your spirit just move and would you fill us with joy as we tell of your goodness? And Lord, would you encourage us and build us up in that? And for a purpose, Lord, that we would be strengthened and have confidence to move forward, to enter 2023 well, and also, Lord, that we would have confidence to tell the world and to tell the people in our world, people who are far from God but near to us, how good you are in Christ. And so we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask Jordan to come up and Jamie, and we got a couple mics here. And so I'm going to be kind of I feel like ground crew right now. I'm going to ask, you know, if you'd like to share something, let's try to keep it brief, okay? But you just stand up and we'll come to you in the balcony. We'll come to you wherever you're at. Who would like to just share something of God's goodness over the past year? It could be something that seems really small to you, but it might be big to the rest of us. First one's always the hardest. There's Lou.
Somebody has to bite the bullet.
Good job, Lou. And everybody remember to keep that mic close to your mouth, okay?
Okay. I'm just very thankful to the Lord for good health that allows me to do the things that he asked me to do during the year. I'm thankful for a home and cars that are paid for. I'm thankful that he has provided for me financially so I don't have to worry about working, which enables me to do the things he wants me to do. And this year especially, he's brought some of my family back from Louisiana and Florida, now live up at the Twin Cities, so I get to see more of them more often. And my family's healthy and all got jobs. And my grandson, who's on dialysis, is still waiting for a kidney transplant. So that's it. Put that in your prayers. And I just praise the Lord. I really don't have any concerns. He just takes care of me.
Yeah.
I just praise him and thank him.
Awesome. Thank you, Lou. Yeah. 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 Hey, it's good to like give the Lord praise. Yeah. All right. And can you come this way so everybody can see you since you're in the cave there? There you go. That's Ann Heath, everybody. Everybody say hi, Ann.
Hi.
There we go.
I am just very grateful to God. I had extreme pain for 6 months that the doctors couldn't figure out what to do. And God healed me of that fully and completely. And I just praise him for that.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, who's next? Joyce there.
Well, it was about a year ago in December that I was diagnosed with cancer. And as soon as I heard that, I started praying earnestly for God's healing. And that went on for over a month. And as I got a few days away from the scheduled surgery, I was feeling kind of disappointed because my idea of God healing would be a miraculous healing, because I didn't want to go through the tough stuff ahead. And so I was praying that night and, you know, reminding God, you know, you can do this. This is not a big deal to you because you created the earth out of nothing. And all you have to do is say the word and just think of how much glory this would bring you. And, of course, as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit starts opening my heart and to the motives that I had. And I realized, you know, the reason I want this is not so much, I said, you know, this is going to be really glorifying to you, God, but I really wasn't so much concerned about God's glory as I was about avoiding the path ahead. And so, you know, it took some time and some tears, and I was able to submit my will to God, but I was really in a lot of fear about what might be ahead. And so, you know, I said, well, okay, I'll go with your plan, but you've got to be there and take away my fear. And he did that. And, you know, I believe that he's been healing me just in a different way than I wanted. And I look back now and I think, if I hadn't gone down that path, the difficult path, I would have missed out on a lot of blessings. Mm. And one of those was my church family. I cannot tell you how blessed that I've been by the love I've received from you. I just overwhelmed. And I've always had a little bit of an issue with feeling like I was lovable and worthy of love, and you've just bombarded me in that way. So I just want to thank you for that and for being, you know, God's hands and feet in so many ways. And, you know, I learned through this experience that even tiny little expressions, which we think are tiny, are huge. So that's kind of prodded me on more to be more thoughtful of other people as well. And then, you know, when I was praying that night, the Holy Spirit said, "Joyce, this is not all about you." And I thought, well, what is that supposed to mean? I'm the one with the cancer, after all. And I thought, well, I guess I need to focus on other people. But I'm home all the time. The only place I went most of last winter was to the cancer center. So when I went there, I tried to be real mindful of being encouragement to anybody that I could. And sometimes it was another patient in the waiting area, but most often it was someone, you know, that was taking care of me. Well, one of the people that came through every time that I was there and I sort of developed a relationship with was the social worker. And she would come, of course, to assess any needs that she could help you with, but just to visit and see how you're doing. And she had this young gal with her who was a student, intern from the college. And so the last time I was there, she says to me, this young gal, she says, "You sure have handled this a whole lot better than elder people." And so, wow, I thought, oh, dear, the Holy Spirit's speaking here. I got to open my mouth. What am I going to say? You know, but I thought, okay, I'll just say something and I'll just let God give me the words. And he did, you know, and I told her that, well, if it was up to me, I'd have been a basket case. But I said, I'm a Christian. And when I came to believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came inside of me. And he's the one that's giving me this strength. And so that's why I'm having peace and joy in the middle of all this mess that I'm in. And then I went on to say that, you know, the way I look at it, I'm in a win-win situation, because if I fully expect that I'm going to be cured of cancer and that I'm going to beat it, but and then I win. But if it doesn't turn out that way and cancer takes over my body and I end up dying, I still win because I get to go be with Jesus. So I said it's taken all the stress and the pressure off because I know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. And it's a great way to live. So, you know, it's really, I just really thank God that he gave me that opportunity to share, especially that particular young lady. And I could tell, you know, she was really taking this all in. And I continue to pray for her when God brings her to my mind. But I just... Also, it was a learning experience for me, too, because I've always been real shy about sharing my faith. And, you know, all we have to do is kind of be aware and keep our eyes open and just share what God's done for us. And it was really a joy. It wasn't scary or anything like that, that I've always thought. But, yeah. And, you know, God has cared for me in so many ways as well. As another way was financially because, you know, I have Medicare and everything, but there's expenses beyond that. Well, the summer before, years ago when I was in my 20s, my parents convinced me to take out a cancer policy supplemental. And it was one of these things where you get the premiums back if you don't use it. And I had gotten my premiums back. And I thought, well, now that I'm on Medicare, I really don't need this anymore. I'm going to cancel this, and that'll be just that much more money in my pocket every month. Well, somehow I just never got around to it. you know. And I just think that was even in my procrastination, God was caring for me because, you know, I was able to collect quite a good amount to cover all those incidental things that were beyond what the insurance came. So God is protecting and caring and watching over us. And if I hadn't gone through this, I wouldn't have felt his constant presence with me. And, you know, that was the most wonderful part, is that you're in the middle of this storm, but you can feel peace and joy through it all. So I give God praise.
Amen. Yeah. All right. We've got some more time, so anyone else? Okay, back that way. Sorry, Jordan. You guys need to get Jordan working over here, okay?
As Pastor was going through the psalm today, it just reminded me of what, not just 2022, but what the Lord has always done for me. When I worked at Winnebago, I had on my computer a couple sayings. One was, if God brings you to it, he'll see you through it. And the other one was, life is not always fair, but God is always faithful. And one of the times I was in the hospital, friends of ours brought me this plaque with a cross, and on the bottom of it, it had 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And just the last part of that verse says, the battle is not yours, but God's. And one of the verses I've always hung on to through everything I've been going through physically is in Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So I think there's probably lots of people here that are going through things, but just remember God's word. He is always faithful, and he will see you through it.
All right. Thank you, Will. That was Will Kessler, if you don't know him. All right. Well, we got Bruce and then Pat in the back, and then we'll transition to some prayer. Okay, Jamie?
Well, I'll keep this short if I can. And I just want to say I've been coming to this church for 20 months, and so I'm thinking back a little further than just 22, but it's through the fellowship of all the people as I look around. So many I knew, but now I know better. And they've shared things with me, and I have felt the love of the Lord in my heart, like I just, God knew I needed it, and he brought me here, and I give him all the glory. And the 33 series has been so helpful, and I just challenge any man, take a part of this if you can at all. It's the fellowship that we've established with our morning group. We've got about, I don't know what it is, 6 to 7 that come quite regular, even though we're not in the series. And just getting together, we've all shared how important that is to us. It strengthens us for each day of the week when we are not able to get together. And I just want to give the Lord all the glory for that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, Pat, you're gonna bring us home, okay, buddy?
I'll try.
Okay.
Since Peg and I came to know Jesus about 20-ish years ago, one thing we came to remember all the time is Philippians. We believe prayer changes everything. And Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your thanksgiving be known to God. And I have to go back to 2021 in December when Peg and I got COVID. And we both ended up in the hospital. And it was about the fifth or the sixth day, the doctor came in, because Peg and I were in different hospitals, and the doctor said that they're going to have to put Peggy on a ventilator tomorrow. And pretty much to me, that meant a death sentence. And she said there was nothing else that she could do. And I don't know what it was, but I said, there's something I could do. And for the next half hour, I talked to that doctor about Jesus. And soon as the doctor left, I called everybody that I knew. I have prayer chains in Maine and in Georgia and Des Moines and all over in the church family. And you guys prayed like you couldn't believe, because we still believe prayer changes everything. Because the next day, Peggy called me, and she says, they said, I can go home tomorrow if I can walk so far. And the only thing I can say is prayer changes everything. And Peggy got to go home the next day, and that was because of the prayers that you and everybody else said for Peg and I. And we thank you for that with all of our hearts.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'll ask Jamie to come up. He's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Please pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time today. As we come forward and we were able to come to church today, Lord, and spend time just reflecting back on 2022. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get up in front of everyone and pray. Lord, as we have witnessed much today, how much power prayer has, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord. And so as we pray today, Lord, I just ask, there's a lot of different prayer needs within the church, and just call out by name, just Jan Charbonneau, Doug Kniezel, Mike Renningham, Glenn Schultz, Ramona Carlson, Vicki Bradlin, Gail Parker, Rita Fox, Kingston Crumweed, Amy Chase, Pastor Bob Dodge, and Paul Dellinger, Lord. And I'm sure there's many others, Lord. But Lord, I just ask that you would be near to them in their time of need and heal them according to your will, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that as we finish out 2022 and look into 23, as we move past the midterm elections, Lord, that happened in November, I just pray that you would use this administration to glorify you, Lord. And even though it may not be the person that we individually wanted, whoever it may be, Lord, I just ask that you would use the administration as a whole to draw people in America back closer to you in whatever way that takes, Lord. Lord, I just pray and thank you for our servicemen and women and firefighters, Lord. Summer volunteers, Lord, it just takes a unique person to be able to put themselves in danger willingly to protect others, Lord. And we thank you for those shepherds of people that do that for us on a daily basis. And often they don't get recognized, Lord, and we thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, just want to ask you to be with the missionaries, Travis and April Holton, Lord, as they're with Reach Global and the many, many things that are happening there with that company and that ministry, Lord, and how they're able to just help reach the unbelievers and show them God's love through action, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, just ask that you would just continue to be with the pastors of this church, Lord, with Steve and Chaz and the families, Lord, with Carol and Nicole and William and Daisy, and Lord, just thank you so much for just their willingness to be here and their calling, Lord, that you called them here to this church, and that the many things that are happening and the many things they do in the background that we never see, Lord, the many time and hours that they're putting into different things, Lord. And we thank you for them, Lord, and we ask that you would bless them in the year to come. And Lord, we thank you for Ellen as well, Lord, just her willingness to step up and take on the worship director role as a volunteer, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And we just, Lord, we just ask that you would make 2023 a great year as we move forward. And Lord, I thank you for everything, just everything about this church family, Lord, and the many blessings, that they've given to just everyone, you know. And as Lois was talking about how the hands and feet, Lord, and we just thank you for this church's willingness to be active and be very giving, Lord, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, I just ask that you would continue to strengthen us as we move forward through 2023. And while there may be challenges, Lord, we take those as opportunities for growth and coming closer to you, Lord. In your name, amen.